I wasn't sure how to address this topic with you today. I've never experienced the kind of profound loss of voice that Steve shared. In fact, I've often relied on my voice. When the rest of my body was pretty frustrating, my voice was something I could count on. Sure, I've had laryngitis once or twice, but I use my voice in my career. I have no fear of public speaking. I realize that public speaking is the number one fear that most people have, but for some reason, I don't have it. I'm afraid of heights, I am afraid of spiders, but I have no problem spontaneously speaking in front of a crowd of thousands. So what was I going to tell you about how we could find our voice? And then I realized I have lost my voice in some ways, especially recently. Not literally, not really, but I have found myself unable to speak in certain ways, and I want to talk with you about what that means today, how we can all find our voice, especially when we are most in need. One of the aspects of my job that I love best is helping people explore ways to get through hard times. When people are in grief or illness or struggle in their lives, I have been known to say over and over, people don't have ESP. They can't know what you want or need unless you tell them. I tell grieving people to be clear about what they do or don't want to talk about, how they want to share or keep private the memories of their loved ones, because the people around them want to do the right thing. They want to help, but they don't know what we need unless we tell them. So why then did I find it so hard to express what I needed recently when I found myself at a very low point after a year of struggle? This past year has been really a wonderful one here at the Fellowship. It's been a gift. But my own personal life, and I have given you glimpses of it through sermons, has been rough. I've had a bunch of illnesses, a bunch of surgeries, a drama and complication around an adoption of a baby, ultimately adopting a second child. That alone is hard. This past year has been one of those years where I think 10 years from now, I'm going to look back and go, how did we do that? So in the midst of this, I did have offers of help. People offered me help, and I accepted a few of them. But mostly I said, no, I'm fine. I couldn't even guess what I might need that would help. But one day, about 2 months ago, about a week after I had my thyroid removed, I hit a wall. I just couldn't keep going in the same way. I was feeling finally the stress, the pain, the grief, the isolation of trying to do it all alone, just our family unit. And I decided to reach out. I told one of my minister colleagues on Facebook what was going on, and suddenly several of my colleagues ordered food for our family to be delivered, even though they all lived far away. I told my book club, which is my little friend group of women in this area, and they immediately jumped into action, bringing me food and arranging a night out so that I could have some social time with adult friends the following evening. They all said, thank you for telling them what I needed. They were happy, they were excited to help. Our reading that we just heard says, I think we're afraid of the wrong things. Looking like a fool is greatly to be feared, but our fears keep us silent when we should speak up and speak out and make us talk too much when we should be quiet. So we end up looking like fools after all. I don't know if I was afraid of looking foolish, but perhaps I was afraid of looking weak or appearing needy. My voice was stolen from me by a society that insists we all be capable, strong, productive, and worst of all, completely independent. We must be capable of doing all of these things without help, alone. That's bonkers. I woke up that morning and I realized that I had been completely violating the advice that I give to everyone that I see as a minister. That's part of the problem, though. I'm the helper. Steve is the professional singer. We can't ask for help, especially not in these areas that we're supposed to be experts in. But alas, that is just another lie that we have been fed. And we all fall prey to these expectations that are unfair and unrealistic. Last spring, our governing board here at the fellowship offered a survey to the entire congregation, and they will offer it again this spring. We're doing it every year to monitor our progress on our goals here at the fellowship. I hope that you will take the time to take that survey. It's telling us a lot about how we are transforming lives in meaningful ways. In that survey that went out last year, the first three questions were about how we care for each other here at the fellowship. And here's what you said. The first question was, I help care for people in this community during times of joy, sorrow, and transition. And 86% of the respondents said that they agreed or strongly agreed with that statement. The next one was, I share my times of joy, sorrow, and transition with this community. And 72% said they agreed or strongly agreed. The third one was, I open myself to compassionate care in times of joy, sorrow, and transition. And 70% agreed or strongly agreed. So 86% of people who answered this survey said that they would help care for others. But then 72% said that they would share if they had anything going on in their own lives. And then only 70% said that they would accept help. I'm glad that these numbers are in the majority, that they're at least as high as 70%. That's nice. But friends, if we are all willing to help, but not willing to accept help when we need it, or to give voice to our own needs when we have them, then the numbers don't add up. Why did it take me a year to say, yes, I needed a casserole and a night out? Why did it take Steve 3 years to realize that he needed to see a doctor for his vocal injury? Why did our survey respondents say that they are more than happy to help, but not equally willing to share when they need help or receive it? Why are we so willing to offer ourselves to speak up to help others, but we go silent when we are in need? I think it's the lies of our society built upon the foundations of both white supremacy culture and capitalism, the lies that tell us that we must be strong and independent and capable all the time, or we are a burden. These lies steal from us our voice. They steal from other people the opportunity to serve. Remember, people are usually happy to help. Your voice matters. Your voice matters whether it has a certain tone or tenor or depth, whether your voice is expressed through your hands or your writings or your actions. Your voice is needed to be a balm to someone else, and your voice is needed to forge true, authentic connections, especially at those times when you are tempted to retreat. That is when your voice is needed. May it be so. Amen.